Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. I know I'm scheduled this morning to begin a series of messages on the Ten Commandments, on the Decalogue, and that will start next Sunday morning, Lord willing. I'm ready. Man, I got it. I've worked on these things a long time. But God, the Holy Spirit, has led me in a little different direction this morning. I trust it'll be a blessing to you as a child of God. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Yesterday was a very busy day. Not only was there a baby shower here at the church, which some of the ladies are involved in, our volleyball team was in a tournament, which they happened to win, by the way, junior high tournament, all the area schools, except maybe the Sioux, I'm not sure, but they won it yesterday. Wonderful. Our football teams did not fare as well yesterday, but so there were people in every direction doing all kinds of things, and there was a shortage of babysitters. So Grandpa got drafted. I didn't go to the football game, none of them. Junior high football played yesterday, too. I babysitted some of the youngest grandchildren in our family from 9 o'clock until noon. Three of the longest hours in history. Yeah. I love those grandbabies. I do. I love them. Three of the longest hours simply because... that's a long time to go without changing a diaper. You know that, don't you? But three of the longest hours, and it actually went pretty good. And Debbie came back and asked for a report, and Reese told her everything. This is my grandchild that refers to Papa as my friend. We've got a special relationship, the tattletale. Told Grandma everything about the bag of bird seed. All scattered around, all the other things that happen. And there are no secrets, not with Reese in the house. We hugged and we made up afterwards, and everything is fine. And here's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on the Bema Seat of Christ. Jesus said, we would give an account for every idle word. And I trust by our time together this morning in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, some things are going to ring true in your life. You know what? Because God is merciful and God is good, he invites the sinner, every sinner, to repentance and forgiveness. But because God is just and God is righteous, there's also a day of accountability and will be rewarded accordingly. Not about heaven and hell. So I want to start the message by simply saying this. I want to preach expositorily a good part of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. But I'll give you a little bit of background. There isn't one general judgment. Some of you know this because you've read the scripture and you know what the Bible teaches. There are two judgments, one for the believer and one for the unbeliever. The unbeliever will stand at the great white throne of God at the end of the millennial kingdom, and since their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. In order to avoid the great white throne judgment, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some point in your life, you're born again. At some point in your life, you realize that you're a sinner, and you repent of your sin, and you call upon Jesus. It's a heart thing. It's from the heart. It is not a religious thing. It is a heart thing where you ask Jesus to save you, and at that point, you get born into the family of God, and you'll never go to the great white throne. But for those that are God's children, those that are born again, there is what is referred to as the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what we're going to read about this morning in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. You're saved by grace if you're born again. I'm saved by grace, and we're going to heaven. That's a done deal. We are, positionally, we are in Christ. And it's the righteousness of our Savior that gets us to heaven. He redeemed us and nailed the handwriting of the ordinances to the cross that we might go to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. Saved by grace. That's what that is. But the life that we're to live, we give an account for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you stand one more time? I'll read just a portion, and then I'll have you sit back down, and I'll continue to read and trust God will bless this morning. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal or fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Father, we ask that you would bless this morning. You would enlighten us. The Holy Spirit would take the word of God and enlighten us to truth. Lord, we ask that Holy Writ would be preached and taught in an anointed way, that the Holy Spirit would be able to speak to every heart here, man, woman, and child, old and young, and everybody in between. And we would understand there is a day of accountability where we as Christians stand before God. Please, Jesus, help that to just ring true in our hearts. And God, we just ask that you would help us as believers be better prepared for service and serve you better so that we'll be rewarded in heaven. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Maybe when you were a little kid, you said something like this: I don't want to grow up. I'm going to hold my breath till I turn blue. I'm going to stomp my feet. There's no way I'm going to grow up. I'm going to grit my teeth, and I am not going to grow. And, of course, that doesn't happen. Everybody that is alive grows. And in the family of God, if you're alive spiritually, a born-again child of God, you need to be growing in the faith. You need to be stronger and know more about Jesus and live a better life than what you did 2 weeks ago, than what you did last year. You ought to be growing. All of us ought to be growing. And Paul had to write the church of Corinth and said, you know, you're all a bunch of babies. You're all divided and envying and the strife among you. And you've divided up into camps and tribes and that don't even exist. You've invented things in your own life and in your own mind where you're at odds one against another. He said, that is so childlike. Climb down from your high chairs. Quit eating your pablum, your baby food, and you haven't been able to partake in the meat of God's word. I've just given you the milk of God's word because you refuse to grow. May that not be us here this morning. As a people of God at Fundamental Baptist Church, the hundreds of people that are here this morning, may we grow in grace. May your preacher grow in grace. May the assistant pastors grow in grace. May every Sunday school teacher just get closer to Christ. If you're not growing, you're dying. It says in verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto fleshly, unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? You know that denominations are not God's idea. God never intended that for mankind. He didn't expect us all to divide up into tribes and own little personal doctrines and do our own thing along the way. And that's where denominations come from. I hope heard one old preacher say this a long time ago. What would you be if you weren't a Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. That's kind of where I'm at, by the way. But what we are here is we are not a denomination. For anybody listening to the radio that does not attend this church, we are not part of the Northern Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, the American Baptist Convention, the over 50 different kinds of Baptists. We're an independent New Testament local church. That is what we are. And these kind of churches are all over Michigan. These kind of churches are all over America. There's no hierarchy. There's no state level hierarchy. And there's no, our headquarters is heaven. And the rule book and our polity and policies are found in the 66 books that make up the Word of God. God has ordained the local church. It's His idea, and He never meant for man to split up and do their own thing. We've divided up into tribes, and it's not pleasing to God. And people are more loyal and faithful to an institution, to a denomination, than they are to Jesus Christ. May that never be said at Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, our leader is Jesus. He's the head of the church, according to the Word of God. He's the one that blood bought. He bought the church with his own blood. And he's the one we're accountable to, and he gave us instructions. So they were dividing up. One says, well, I'm following Paul. Another said, I'm following Apollos. And one of the more spiritual people, some of the more spiritual people said, well, we follow Jesus Christ. And the fact is, there were envying and strifes among them, and it was not pleasing to God. And that's why he speaks to the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God does bless his people that are obedient to the word of God, that are evangelistic and trying to reach this world for Christ. God gives the increase. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward. You might underline that word reward because that's what we're going to get to here in just a few verses. Shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God knows. God knows. If, as a child of God, you're giving your best to the work of God, that's good enough, no matter how small it is. If, as a child of God, you're giving your second best to the work of God, that's not good enough, no matter how big it is. God knows my ability. God knows your ability. God knows what I surrender. God knows what you surrender. And we're going to be accountable to God, and we'll receive rewards at the Bema seat according to our faithfulness. Every man shall receive his own reward. In verse 8 and 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul's saying this. I've laid the foundation, he preached Jesus, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The judgment seat of Christ. William Scroggle, a Bible theologian now in heaven, made a startling statement. I wrote it down a long time ago. I read it in a book, and I thought, well, how? He said, I would rather go as a Christian. I would rather go through the tribulation than stand before God as a carnal Christian. And I know how bad the tribulation is because I've studied through it, and you've studied through it as well in the book of Revelation. And here's this saint of God now in heaven said, I'd rather go through the tribulation than stand at the Bema seat of Christ as a fleshly Christian, having done nothing for God. Hey, by the way, you know who's seated upon the throne? Jesus. He hath committed all judgment under the Son. The Father hath committed all judgment under the Son. That's good news, bad news. Good news at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. When we look up, we'll see our Savior. That's good news. That's how we got there. Bad news, we'll see our Savior. The one who's provided for us every day of our lives. And we didn't do much for him. Verse 11. Oh, I wanted two words in verse 10. Take heed. Let me read the verse again. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Number one, get saved. Salvation is essential. You've got to build your life. The building he's talking about is the life that I'm living, the life that you're living. 70, if by reason of strength, 80, well, however long, however short it is, there's a foundation. That foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. It was Jesus that died on the cross and made a way for you to go to heaven. You make sure you're born again. You make sure with you, it's a heart thing and not a religion thing. When you call upon Christ, repenting of your sin, and you get born into the family of God. It doesn't matter if everybody else in your family is saved. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. So take heed, build upon that foundation. There is no other foundation. Other foundation can no man lay other than Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He's the only Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, ye must be born again. There's only one way. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Number one, get saved. Number two, build your life. Number three, use good building material. And number four, there's an inspector coming. A building inspector. He's going to inspect what you've done for him. And there'll be rewards accordingly. Verse 11 again says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, build your life on the right kinds of things. Wood, hay, and stubble will be burned in the judgment fires. That's what's spoken of here in the next few verses. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is what's going to happen. I don't know the nuances. We that are born again, part of the church of Jesus Christ, one day the Father says to the Son, Son, go get your bride, it's time. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we which are alive and remain caught up to meet the Lord in the air, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We'll be taken to the heavenlies. We'll be taken to God's home. There's a day where we stand before God, the Savior of the world, the one who saved us, the Good Shepherd, the one who redeemed us from the fires of hell, and our life will somehow be gone over. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know what's going to happen. I picture a great crowd, millions, and the Son of God seated upon the throne. And my name is finally called. I got to believe there's a little apprehension before that. My name is called and I step out. I don't know if it's going to be a big screen. I don't know if it's going to be like a three-dimensional. I have no idea, but my life is going to be gone over. And this is not a judgment on whether I go to heaven or hell because I'm in Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody goes to hell from this judgment. Nowhere in the Word of God do you find that. That's the great white throne. That is for unbelievers. But and salvation is free, and it's all of grace. That's a wonderful truth. But the life that we live is important. The kind of church that we are, it's important, and will be rewarded accordingly. And the wood and the hay and the stubble will be burnt up. Chaff, gone. I got to ask you this morning. What are you doing for Christ? And go deeper. What about the motivation? Why do you do what you do when you do it? What we are reading about right now this morning and preaching about and studying about is an investigative judgment of the believer's life. Our sin is nailed to the cross. Man, we're going to heaven because of what Jesus did for us. Salvation is a free gift, but the life that we live, the building that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we'll give an account. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all give account of ourselves to God. So Romans chapter 14. All of us. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I quoted Romans 14. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Because it's not in my mind right now, but it's right here in the Bible. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. That's while he was here on this earth. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Man, listen to me. One day soon, you're going to stand before God as a believer. One day soon, there won't be any facade. There won't be any pretend righteousness. There won't be any, you know, it's what you did for Jesus Christ while you were here on this earth. And why you did it. Was the motive right? Or did you do it because you get paid? Did you do it because others are expecting you to do it? Did you do it to somehow advance your name? The judgment seat of Christ. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, that's works that will survive the judgment fire. Wood, hay, and stubble, those are works that will be burnt up. I confess, there's a lot of things that Tim Rader has done in the name of Christ. That he did it for himself. No reward. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This ought to strike a somber note in your heart. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Jesus said this, "Take heed that ye do not your alms your right before men, your righteous acts before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Already, right now, down on this earth. If you're working for the applause of men, you better take a bow right now, because it ain't going to happen at the Bema Seat of Christ. If you're working to be a big shot in the family of God here on this earth, you might just well enjoy it right now and hope people praise you a lot, because there'll be no rewards in heaven. But the scripture speaks to the child of God here. Look what it says back again in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You're building your life, make it out of good material, because there's an inspector coming. It'll happen at the Bema Seat of Christ. And what people may think, you're a great Christian here on this earth, but really everything is self-motivation. You don't do things outside your realm except it benefits you somehow. I'm telling you, you're going to be real surprised at the Bema Seat. Could be a lot of preachers real surprised. There'll be some little old ladies that didn't have a whole lot of wherewithal, maybe not a whole lot of ability, and they're faithful to God. They're going to receive a full reward. Man, you picture that. Standing before God. Now, don't picture somebody else, because you're missing everything. Your name. You. Standing before your Savior. Looking into His eyes. You'll wish you'd done more. That's what the hymn writer said. I wish I'd done more. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. No secrets. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There'll be rewards. There are five of them mentioned, five crowns mentioned in the New Testament. Crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. That's about being faithful in testimony. Nothing to do with talent. Nothing to do with how many notes you can sing. It's about being faithful. Crown of incorruption, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. That is self-control. That is, you know, God help me to be solid there. Crown of life, James chapter 1 and verse 12. That is a crown that is given for those that go through deep trials and they're still faithful to God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, Galatians 6, 9. Crown of glory, 1 Peter 5, 4, that's for the pastor. I know many faithful pastors. In my growing up years, I knew some great men of God. And I held them and hold them in high esteem. Crown of rejoicing, that's the soul winner's crown, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. We can all get that. You better be a soul winner. That's why you're still alive here on this earth. You use those opportunities that God gives to you. That kind of work, good works, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, they'll be rewarded. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, it'll burn. It's not about quantity. Can I say it this way? I hope you understand me. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's about faithfulness. We were working on the bus. We painted the second bus there Thursday night. Derek, Pastor Bill, and myself. And we worked way into the evening, man, we were tired and things were starting to look good that shouldn't look good. And Pastor Bill was on the other side of the bus. When you're painting something, that's not always that good. And I heard him say on the other side of the bus, "Well, that looks good enough for me." I said, "Okay, time out. We're done for the night now. It's time to quit painting on that bus." Because it isn't really about what's good enough for me and what's good enough for you. It's about what's good enough for God. The Bema Seat. our life is going to be reviewed. The Bema Seat. It's about doing our best for the Master. I said early in the message, your best, no matter how small it is, good enough with God. But if you're giving less than your best, no matter how big it is, you're comparing yourselves among yourselves, it's not good enough for reward. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, writing to Christians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Say, preacher, I don't have much I can give to God. I want to encourage you on this last note. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He said just prior to that, he understood this. If he would give his weaknesses to God, therein is the power of God. In the areas of life that you feel the most inadequate, that's where God's going to use you. You say, oh, I'm talented in this area. Well, you might just be too full of yourself to be used of God there. But if you give your weaknesses to God, he'll use you. And here's the good news. He'll reward you. Because God is good and merciful. Let's close with this. Salvation is a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, that's the gospel of grace that we preach. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You cried out to God with a repentant heart, and he saved you. After you get born again, to whom much is given. I was going to look at that verse this morning. We don't have time to look at it now. To whom much is given, much is required. Required where? At the Bema Seat. After you get born again with that free gift, now you have a responsibility to live for God, to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, hay, or stubble. Why do you do what you do when you do it? Boil it all down. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for our time in the Word of God. Lord Jesus, would you help us as your people to do a better job of praising you and exalting you before a lost and dying world? God, may we do a better job of being an ambassador of heaven and telling other people of the best friend we ever have, ever could have, and his name being Jesus, and how he's Savior. God, would you be with our young people as they're involved in sports? May they do it with a good testimony and be the kind of people that are light in a world of darkness and use whatever platform is given for the cause of the gospel. Be with our coaches there as well. And God, would you help us in the classroom? Would you help us in the workplace? Would you help us as we just rub shoulders one with another? God, to be a faithful witness. And Lord, would you bless tonight the preaching of your word? Thank you again for what you've done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.